judging others. We are great at judging others. Now, there's this pesky verse in the Bible that says you're really not to judge others. Jesus said it, but it's one of those verses that, you know, it applies to everyone else, but not really me, because it's okay for me to do this. If we didn't like judging people, would we really have so many judge shows on TV? We like it. We see judgment all the time. When Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, was in Milwaukee just a week and a half ago for a Hillary Clinton rally, this is what she said. There is a special place in hell for women who don't help each other. Now, she has said that line before in a number of different contexts, but the point was, and it was meant to be a little humorous, you better vote for Hillary. It's not just Democrats who say things like that. Donald Trump, calling the people of Iowa and the people of the United States stupid because they didn't support him and they believe things that other candidates were saying. We judge in the field of sports. Last week's Super Bowl, this play, Cam Newton, is being judged up and down because he didn't dive for the fourth quarter fumble, right? Cam Newton was judged for his after-the-game press conference where he wore the hoodie and walked out. But it's not just Cam Newton. Peyton Manning's getting judged because he made not one, but two references to drinking a lot of Budweiser after the game because it turns out he's got this little side deal, it seems, perhaps, with Budweiser. Okay? We are really good at judging. When we were in our office trailer this last week, where there's no soundproofing at all, and I was hard at work serving the Lord, I couldn't help but overhearing the rest of the staff talking about The Bachelor. Okay. Just so you know, everyone else on your church staff but the Pastor Paul, they watch The Bachelor. I do not have time for such garbage. My more eclectic television watching habits deal with finding Bigfoot and mountain monsters. But after hearing that, I asked them, is there anyone on The Bachelor who's good at judging? And they made sure I learned all about Olivia. Olivia, who loves to judge others. We are very, very good at judging. Some of us are in the big league when it comes to judging. When we judge others, we look down our noses at them. When we judge others, we say, I am better than you. When we judge others, we say, you are worthless or not very good at all. And in this world where we love to judge, along comes Jesus, who has some things to say about judging. And he is a real party pooper, let me tell you. So I said, on March 6th, we have our church play. It's called The Storyteller's Journey. It's about two people on their way to find this storyteller, to hear what he has to say. And it's through their journey, they run into characters from all sorts of Jesus' parables. Jesus spoke and Jesus taught in parables. And a parable is a short little story that makes a point. It's not an allegory. It doesn't spell everything out. Parables are designed to make a point and then kind of leave it hanging to get you to think about what was said. And I firmly believe that Jesus was the greatest storyteller in history, the greatest teacher in history. And there's something we have to know that ties into Jesus' parables, and it's this. Jesus hung out with the wrong crowd. Jesus was known for hanging out with the wrong kind of people. Jesus hung out with tax collectors such as Zacchaeus. And in his days, everyone hated tax collectors. Jesus hung out with foreigners like the Syrophoenician woman who begged him for help. And Jesus and his fellow Jews thought so little of her that he refers to her as a dog. And she has to correct his thinking. Jesus hung out with people like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and brought to him to be stoned, and Jesus is the one who protected her. Jesus hung out with foreigners like Roman soldiers who were hated by the Jews. The story of a Roman centurion coming to Jesus asking for help. Jesus hung out with the sinful woman who washed his feet while everyone else at the party is, oh, how could he do that? Jesus has kind words to say for her. Jesus hung out with children. Now today, children are at the center of our culture, but in Jesus' day, children were not to be seen or heard. And when parents bring children to Jesus to be blessed, his disciples shoo them away because he's too busy and too important to spend time with kids. Jesus hung out with lepers. And not only did he hang out with lepers, but he dared to touch them in the midst of their sins and sickness. And Jesus hung out with Samaritans, with these people considered by Jews to be half-breeds, not even worthy to associate with. Jesus went out of his way to be with Samaritans. In fact, he makes the hero of one of his stories a Samaritan. Jesus hung out with the wrong kind of people. And in today's gospel from Luke 15, this is what the scribes and the Pharisees say about Jesus. They were grumbling because this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. You see, Jesus had sinners who were attracted to him. Strike one. Jesus welcomed them. Strike two. Jesus ate with them. Strike three. The Pharisees were delighting in pointing out that Jesus was doing everything wrong. The Pharisees wanted to say about these people with whom Jesus hung, you are not good enough, and they wanted to make sure that Jesus, you're doing it wrong. This is not how a godly person acts. And so what does Jesus do in response to all this criticism? He tells them a parable. He tells them a story. There was once a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them wandered away. So the shepherd left the 99 sheep to go and find the one. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and he rejoiced. And when he got home, he called everyone together and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And he sums up that story with this one line. And just so I tell you, he says to those scribes and Pharisees, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. And that's it. That's his lesson. No explanations, no detailed analysis of what he meant by all that. He leaves it to them to think about it. And when they thought about it, they had a lot to think about. Because on the one hand, what that shepherd did was a love filled action, that he would go and rescue that one sheep. Isn't that sweet and wonderful? But on the other hand, they would think, what an idiot. What an idiot. If one sheep wanders away while you're looking after them, what's going to happen to the 99 sheep when you leave them unattended? There is a picture I did not put in my slideshow for today that shows what happened when some sheep in Spain were left unattended and they followed the lead sheep and they all just walked off a cliff and killed themselves. Sheep are not dumb. So when Jesus tells this story, he's telling a story about great love, but also a story about foolish love. Who would do that? Because you see, Jesus wants to talk about God's radical grace and God's radical love. While we are so busy pointing the finger at others and say, you are not good enough, God is reaching out his arm to save sinners. Now, Jesus wants us to know that this story does not mean we have a license to sin, that we can do whatever we want to do. Remember, that sinner has to repent. And Jesus, I'm sure, was fully aware that there were sheep that did not want to be found, that there were people who wanted nothing to do with God. He was fully aware of that. But he wanted to stress the importance of repentance. In Hebrew, the word repent literally means to turn around. When you sin, you go the wrong direction. When you repent, you turn around to God. The Greek word for repentance literally means to change your mind. When you sin, you are not thinking properly. When you repent, you turn your mind back to God. And Jesus says, heaven rejoices when even one sinner turns around, when even one sinner changes their mind and comes back to God. Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about an owner of a vineyard who goes out early in the morning to hire day laborers. And he gets a group of workers and he says, come with me, work for me today, and I will pay you the usual daily wage. The word in Greek is the word denarius, this little silver coin about the size of a dime. A denarius was what you needed to earn to get enough food and drink for one day. And so he hires some workers, and he goes back again a couple hours later and hires more. And he goes back at noon and hires more. He goes back at 3 o'clock, he hires more and says, I'll pay you whatever's fair. He goes back an hour before the sun goes down, and he hires more workers. All through the day, he keeps going and hiring workers in his vineyard. And when the evening comes, this was back when, you know, no electronic deposit here, you got the cash in hand. When the day came, into the day came, he had his steward pay the workers, and he paid the ones who worked for an hour first. And what did they get? They got a denarius. And so those who'd worked all day, who were at the back of the line watching this all going on, as they're moving up to the front of the line, they're saying, all right, this is pretty good. If he's paying those guys a denarius, what am I going to get? And what happens? They get to the front of the line, they hold out their hand, and they get a denarius. And they are angry. They are furious at what has happened. We worked all day. We sweated and we toiled. We've got blisters on our hand, and this is how you treat us. But the real complaint is this. They dare to say, you have made them equal to us. They are in the judging business. And the owner says to one of them, he says, friend, I did you no wrong. It's my money. I can pay people what I want to pay. I gave you exactly what I promised. And then he says to them, are you envious because I'm so generous? Now, we like it when people are generous to us, right? It's great when they're generous to me. But when they're generous to someone else, we can have a little issue with that. And there's a word that appears in both gospel stories. It's a word that appears for the scribes and Pharisees. It's a word that appears for those workers who worked all day. It's the word grumble. It's the word grumble. In the Greek, it's a great word because it sounds like grumbling. It's the word ganguxo. Okay, the word just sounds like you're grumbling. While there are characters grumbling in these stories, how does the shepherd respond? The shepherd rejoices. While the workers are grumbling, how does the owner of the vineyard respond? He is generous. What a point Jesus is getting across to us. He tells us parables. He gets us thinking. What is Jesus saying about God? What is he saying about us? What is he saying about others? What is he saying about us when we love to judge? Well, there's some general things we can say. First is this, don't judge. Don't judge. That's not our business. Because, you know, when we start judging, we can judge everyone else. And we can judge Democrats. We can judge Republicans. We can judge Panthers. We can judge Broncos. We can judge people on Finding Bigfoot. We can judge people on The Bachelor. We can even judge God. How dare God act like that? There are a lot of Christians today who do not like deathbed conversions. They do not like it when someone comes to Jesus Christ in the last minute of their lives. Because why? I have been a Christian all my life, God. I have gone to church, sat in the front row every week of my life. I have tithed my entire life. I have been nice to people I don't like. And you know what? And then some jerk can say I'm sorry with his last breath, and he gets to go to the same heaven I get to go to. It's not fair, we say, like the workers in the vineyard. You know, it's great when Jesus saved that thief on the cross at the last minute of his life, but I have a problem when it's that idiot I have lived next to my entire life who sneaks into heaven at the last minute. The parables of Jesus talk about the radical, amazing justice of God. They remind us that God is the only judge, and God does not judge by our standards, which is a very good thing for you and me. Jesus reminds us in his stories that God is righteous, God hates sin, but God loves repentance even more. Our God is loving, our God is gracious, our God is merciful in ways we cannot possibly begin to imagine in our sinful lives. Jesus would probably sum it up this way: the most interesting church sign I have ever seen. Because you know what? That's exactly true, isn't it? Scumbags are welcome in God's kingdom. Not just the righteous ones, not just the ones who have it all together, but people kind of like me, who are flawed, who are frail, who are messed up, who are really good at sinning and judging. God even wants us, and he rejoices when we come to him. You see, Jesus gives us a whole lot of food for thought. A whole lot of food for thought in these short little stories he tells called parables. We're going to talk about the parables today in our adult form. Pastor Heidi's going to preach next week about these parables of God's amazing kingdom. And as we go through these sermons, I encourage you to think about Mark 6th and to think about someone you can invite to come with you that day, to hear about God's amazing, wonderful love, and to sit at the feet of the master storyteller, Jesus Christ.